Welcome back to the CDH Radio Show. I'm your host, Dawn Ireland, president of CDH International, and your interviewer again this week is the wonderful Tracy Meads, president of the support division, also called CHERUBS, here at CDHI. This week, Tracy is interviewing the parents of Connor Bray. She's a little girl from Georgia, and her parents are Christina and Ryan, and so we're going to hear about their journey with their five-year-old survivor.
Hello, today I'm with the Bray family. I would like you guys to introduce yourselves. Tell me a little bit about your family and what life was like before CDH, and then tell me a little bit about when you first heard about CDH.
I am Christina, I'm Connor's mom.
And I'm Ryan, I'm Connor's dad.
And this is Rivers, Connor's dog. Life before Connor was busy and hectic all the time. We're both veterinarians and we work a lot, and we were finishing up internships, and then we had moved to Wisconsin, and then we found out we were pregnant up there, and that was, we aren't from Wisconsin, we're from the South, so the whole move and everything was in itself a bit hectic, but was then happy when we found out about Connor Bray. And she, whole pregnancy was pretty good. I was sick here and there, but really wasn't terrible. Did not find out anything on our ultrasound about Connor's hernia. And then I went into labor, and labor was okay. A little bit of ups and downs, but nothing too crazy. And then when she was born, she clearly was not oxygenating well. She was pretty gray. So everybody acted really quickly, and where we delivered did not have a NICU. And so we have to seriously thank the nurses there. They had never really dealt with a baby that wasn't doing very well. And they did have an anesthesiologist that was able to quickly intubate her and get her stabilized. And then Ryan rode with her to Madison. So I delivered about an hour from Madison. We lived in a really small little town, they call it a village actually, in Wisconsin. Ryan took her to AmFam in the Madison Children's Hospital.
Yeah, it was when she was born, she had the initial kind of cry that they had when they first, are born, but she otherwise was very quiet, and she very quickly became gray. And we're very fortunate that, even though we were born in a place without a NICU, the staff at, I think it was Fort Atkinson Hospital there, mm-hmm. noticed things that were off very quickly, and they very quickly intubated her. And her diagnosis, they actually got, I think, probably within 5 to 10 minutes of life, which was incredible.
Yep. And they took the x-ray, and I had some sedation. But then after, when I woke up, I saw the x-ray, and I actually knew immediately what it was, just because we see it in dogs and cats too. So, but my first perception was, because that's the first experience I'd ever really heard about it in a baby or a person or anything. And I thought that it honestly was probably going to be okay, because most of the time in dogs and cats, it's pretty easily correctable. And then I think quickly we kind of realized that it was a lot more serious than I was thinking initially, which was scary. And then Ryan kind of had the initial talk to the doctors, because I was trying to get there. They let me go about 5 hours after I gave birth, because I said, I need to go figure out what's happening. And I think they knew there was a hospital really close by, so if something was wrong with me, I could go there. So they let me go. And then Ryan had those first kind of scary conversations with the doctors, where they said she had about a 50-50 chance of making it through. So then that's when I kind of found out everything, and was terrible.
Very terrifying for both of you.
They have, credit the AmFam Hospital in Madison. They were fantastic. It's a unexpected conversation to have, just due to her particular circumstances, but with any family as well. But they have to have the conversation of, here are the worst case scenarios. And that's a large component of, what probably a lot of patients or families deal with CDH. And it was hard to hear that, but
I think it was particularly hard for us too, because we know a lot of the worst case scenarios in our patients too, because I'm finishing up my critical care residency. And honestly, the reason I chose to do specialize in critical care, one of the big reasons was because of Connor, really, because I, you know, heard all the things and knew how bad it could be. And I think sometimes makes my conversations a little easier with really sick animals, because I went through something like that. So, you know, I think I had to separate myself and be kind of just mom, but right. Ryan having him be the medical person, and he attended all the rounds and stuff with the doctors. They were great about that, including him. So he was kind of the advocate on that mm-hmm. frame. So it was good.
The one thing I very vividly remember, at least going back to when Connor was born, was even though, you know, it was certainly a very striking image of seeing, you know, your newborn daughter intubated, but I very vividly remember her just trying to rip out the endotracheal tube and fighting very hard, and just knowing that she was going to be a fighter just right from the beginning. So
yeah,
it was encouraging to see that. I'll tell her when she's older, and whenever she's being a pistol about things, like, yeah, we need to rip in the good, tried to rip out your endotracheal tube.
Yeah. So she's been a fighter from the beginning.
Yeah. Yes, she always, I remember that was, I mean, that kept on going on the whole time, but she would quickly like desat if she was getting all agitated. And so she actually needed a lot of drugs to keep herself calm, which the other horrible part of when they come off of the medications, they have a lot of withdrawal symptoms, which she had. It really prolonged our stay with them. But ultimately, I think she had her surgery at 10 days old. She was 10 days old when she had her surgery. And that day we just sort of, I occupied myself. I think I colored like all day long. And the nurses, actually, who I still talk to and kind of do some things. She's actually a health coach, and she invited me to be part of her stuff in Wisconsin. So I still talk to her all the time, but they were amazing. And they both had had little babies that had had, but they actually had miscarried very late in their pregnancies and didn't go very well. It's just very sad, but they had very heartwarming stories and helped me through a lot of that. But anyway, they talked to us a lot during that day, and she did pretty well during everything. At one point she needed a chest tube after surgery, and I know that those can be really painful and terrible, and that day was really rough for sure. She never needed ECMO.
I lost the sound from you guys. I can see you talking, but I can't hear anything on your end.
Can you hear us now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. But she never needed ECMO or anything, which was good. And we were in the NICU for 6 weeks of time. Yep. So obviously know a lot of families, and I guess I should back up. I think maybe 2 days into the whole process of being at AmFam, our doctor, the NICU doctor, told me about CDH. He told international, at the time you weren't international, but CDH help and all that. And so I got on the website, and within a few days, someone had already contacted me. So that's how I got involved pretty quickly with the organization, and learned that it's more common than you would think, and there's a lot of really tough stories that people have had and shared with me pretty quickly. So I use that as my way to get through it. So
that's great. After her surgery, did she have any eating difficulties growing? Did she have any ups and downs in the NICU?
I don't know that we had a ton of issues with feeding. She did have some issues with gaining weight, because that was one limitation of her going home. But she wasn't that. Do you remember having?
No, the only thing that I think was probably the struggle was the post-operative necessity of the chest tube placement and the duration of that. In terms of, I think, probably extended part of her hospitalization. But they certainly warned us about the gastroesophageal issues that these babies will have. And I think for the most part, she was very mildly affected, probably at most. How much we were fortunate great. For.
Yeah, she did well with that. The withdrawal symptoms she really struggled from, that was rough and prolonged her stay. And then once she left, she had a lot of issues with like even utilizing the left side, like her arms and her, she didn't really move that as well as they would have liked. So we did some PT initially in the hospital, but she hated it. She hated it so much. We had someone come to our house to see if that would be better. So as soon as she saw that person walk in the door, she knew, she was like, I don't want to do this, and put up a fight with it. So then I said, is there anything you can tell me? What can I do with her at home? So kind of struggled through that for a few months, actually. Mm-hmm. But she, I mean, after those first probably six months or so, you'd say 6 to 9 months, we really did not have many issues at all. We had to visit a lot of specialists after, and that's pretty common as well, but things they identified in while she was in the NICU, she had some hydronephrosis, which maybe would have gone unnoticed without this problem being addressed with her hernia. So that was, you know, good, you know, so we didn't encounter issues after. So she had a nephrologist, she had an endocrinologist, we would just slowly kind of taper down the appointments up until about a year of age is when those backed off a little bit. We did a lot of hearing tests where they were worried she was having some hearing issues. I guess patients associated with the ventilator, that's a more high risk for those patients. So, but I was like, I think she can hear quite well, but we had to keep doing the testing because she wasn't passing that, but now she seems fine.
Yeah, and with regards to the PT, like the physical therapy, occupational therapy, I was never around to see the appointments at home. Christina was always at home for those. But I very vividly remember because at that time, Christina was working overnights. And I picked Connor up from like our daycare and kind of getting her ready like for the nights and have to do some of the PT exercises with her before she went to bed. And she did not like them at all. It was to tire her out. That way she would go to bed faster. So it was a very loud hour or so before we actually went to bed.
I couldn't stand it ever. That was something that I definitely had like an anxiety with when she would cry really hard. I was always scared that she would desat or, you know, her hernia, her repair would, you know, there's just weird anxieties like that as a mom. And so I made him do it and she would cry all the time. I was like, I can't listen to it. And, you know, any other baby might let him kind of cry it out a little bit with anything. I just never let her cry about anything, which she seems unaffected by at this point.
Yeah. How has life been since, you know, she's 5 years old now? How has life been for her since then? Is everything good?
Yeah. She's good. She's super smart. She's started doing a little bit more team sport things. So she just started t-ball, which she seems to be really good at. We both played soccer like in college, and that was our sport. And so I didn't do anything with t-ball or baseball or softball. And so it's been a new thing, but she's actually fairly, her coaches are like, wow, she's pretty good. So she's doing that and soccer as well. And just trying to figure out what she likes. Swimming. She's been doing swimming for a long time. Which I think swimming was good for her too, just building her strength. And she's been doing that since she was itty bitty. Ballet, she likes. She's a bit of a, she's got a mix of a tomboy / girly girl going on. So I was never a girly girl, but she's does my nails and wants to do my hair. She's really cute. But she has a brother, and her brother's super healthy. We did a lot of stuff, kind of planning with ultrasounds and all that before he was born, but he's never had any issues, thank goodness. She loves her brother and hates her brother at times as well. They hate, that's a good word, but is annoyed by her brother, little brother, all the time. But they seem to be pretty good. So
that's wonderful. That's wonderful that she's a good sister to her little brother.
Yeah.
If you guys have any advice for CDH families that are starting out on this journey, what advice you would give them?
I would say I was always still am at times, but this has changed me for sure when I went through all this. But I always felt like I was a, just kind of an independent, self-sufficient person. But when this happened with Connor, I definitely relied on other people and I basically opened my eyes to just the real world and how things are. And if you could just reach out to people, like, that was difficult for me at first, but then it was super easy. I don't know why I had qualms about it, but I would say just trying to find people, even if it's not about diaphragmatic hernias, I've had a few experiences with some other different things with some of my coworkers and stuff. And I feel like immediately they kind of drawn to me, and I've learned to kind of talk to them about it and listen to them. So I think just reaching out to find that help is what you need to do and rely on other people.
So. That's great. And Ryan, as a dad, what would you tell other dads starting out on this journey?
Yeah, it's at least in terms of following up on Christina's statements, like utilizing kind of the resources of support, both from like a personal family, like outside of the hospital network, but then within the hospital network, there are resources there, and utilizing them to really help you process. Cause it's, you know, there are times that it may be anticipated based off of, you know, preterm ultrasounds or may not, but utilizing the resources of a support system will help you get through it. Cause even as strong as you can be as a, you know, mother and father, it's too much really to take on as a team of two.
Yeah.
As a father in particular, it was hard because I mean, during the entirety of the pregnancy, like, you know, seeing, you know, Christina, Carrie, Connor, and not really having anything else other than emotional support that I could try to provide. And, you know, that day comes and, hey, yes, finally actually time to have that direct, you know, personal interaction, and then lo and behold, it got delayed. I think we didn't even get to hold her for 2 weeks.
It was about 3 weeks. Yeah, we finally held her. So
yeah, and having that just was really hard.
They also have which was awesome, you know, social workers and stuff at the hospital, and they would always check in and stuff, which we're a huge hospital down here in Atlanta that we work at. And even I've been advocating, I've been part of the, actually did a lot of training this morning for it, but I was elected as like the mental health aide person for our hospital. And we are trying to advocate for similar things, to have a social worker come to our hospital, or at least be reachable for us, for clients, for just anything, you know, where you need to talk about it. Cause those people were super helpful. So I would think that would be a big help for people. So
that is great advice from both of you. I so appreciate you both taking your time today and sharing a little bit more about Connor and her journey with CDH. And Christina, you're one of our state representatives there in Georgia. How important is it to volunteer and give back to families?
It's super important, and it's rewarding too, you know, because I remember being in that position and needing somebody to give me more information. Of course, you know, me being scientist, pretty much I need all the information I can get and make my objective viewpoint. So providing that, I think, is just super important. So I've been happy to be part of it.
And we are happy to have you on board with our team. And we look forward to following Connor as she grows and ventures out into the real world and what she will do with her life. But we thank you so much today for sharing your story.
Yep, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to the Bray family and to Tracy Meets for holding the interview. We always love to hear the wonderful news about our survivors and how well they're doing. They are such a great inspiration to newly diagnosed families. If you'd like to share your story, if your child is a survivor or a non-survivor, we share all the congenital diaphragmatic hernia stories. Please reach out to us by going to www.cdhi.org/share-your-story. And we would love to interview you for the radio show, the telethon, social media, and your local media as well. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to talking to you again next Tuesday to share a new story of a family's journey with congenital diaphragmatic hernia. I'm Dawn Ireland, your host, and speaking on behalf of myself and Tracy Meets, thank you for tuning in every single week, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Clear me now, ah! My cover was torn off. So right now, a beast from a beast from my fight song. And I know what it is. Now what it is. Believe. So I'll spend that the love by lots of me. No, I'll spend that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.